The hostage and prisoner releases as part of the Gaza ceasefire deal continue to be tense, but so far that ceasefire, it is holding. And almost 500,000 Palestinians have been pouring back into Gaza to scenes of utter devastation. Israel has banned UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Agency, from working in Gaza. But UNICEF is there and their communications manager, Tess Ingram, is on the line. Tess, the scenes we see on television of those crowds of Palestinians streaming down the road back into Gaza, and then the scenes of when they get there and find apocalyptic devastation. Describe all that to us.
I've been among those crowds, Anya, for the last few days. I travelled with them from the south to the north of Gaza. And I can tell you that as I spoke to people on that road, they carried such hope for what they would find on the other side of that crossing to the north. I think for 15 months, people have been thinking about what it would be like to go home and hoping that despite seeing the images of destruction, that their house, their neighbourhood might have been spared. But once they got here, and I was speaking to families again, the thing that I kept hearing was, it's all gone, there is nothing. And for many people, they've lost not only their home, but that hope that they were carrying. And I think that's really dangerous because people are now here, they're lost, and they don't know how to move forward because not only is their home gone, not only is that hope gone, but also they're struggling to survive again because services are really decimated, for example, water systems and hospitals.
What resources does UNICEF have on the ground and how are you using them?
What we're trying to do is bring aid and services in at scale. And the ceasefire has really helped with that. We've managed to increase the amount of trucks that we've brought in, but also the amount of support we can provide in terms of services with our partners. So yesterday I went to a clinic where we're providing immunization for children to protect them from diseases. We're screening for malnutrition and providing treatments if children are malnourished. And we're also bringing in fuel and cement and things to help rebuild these waters and sanitation systems, which is so important.
And has the work of UNICEF been impacted by the ban, for instance, on UNRWA, the UN relief agency, from the Israeli government?
Look, we've said for a very long time that UNRWA is the backbone of the humanitarian response here. At this stage, we are being able to continue. And, you know, UNRWA has said many times that they will continue as long as they can until they're forced not to. But without UNRWA, it would really be a catastrophic situation here for children who are in desperate need still.
And are you able to work freely, or are there restrictions imposed on what you can do in your relief work?
We are still restricted on some of the materials that we can bring in. So those construction materials that I spoke about for water, we need to get more of those in. We need less restrictions on these items so that we can really repair these essential services. But in terms of movement, it's much better than it was before the ceasefire. We are getting around the Gaza Strip, getting to places that we weren't able to previously. The challenge now is, of course, the damage. There's a lot of damage to roads. The amount of rubble is enormous. So moving around is difficult, but less because of access and more because of the damage.
And the UN Secretary General Guterres, he has called for 2,500 Palestinians to be allowed to go to the US for urgent medical treatment. Any progress being made there, do you know?
Not at this stage. We really need to see those people who are in desperate need of medical care evacuated. And so many of them are children, Anya, and they've been struggling to survive, languishing in pain in an area where doctors are doing their best to help them, but they just don't have the resources or the specialists needed to provide that particular kind of care. So it is really important. And one of the things that can help there is opening the Rafah crossing, which was a key crossing point in the south of the Gaza Strip to Egypt. And that is where the medical evacuations generally take place. So we need that crossing to reopen so that these medical evacuations can scale up once more.
And all of this, the little, given the scale of the need that you're able to do at the moment, all of that because the ceasefire is in place. But we saw those scenes yesterday of hostages being released, clearly terrified, hemmed in by, huge crowds and clearly Hamas in control. There was the delay in the release of Palestinian prisoners. There was the, disturbances in the West Bank. So there's a lot of tension around this ceasefire, presumably the question everyone in Gaza is asking: how long does this last? How long does this hold? Will there be a phase two?
Yes, and people ask us that all the time here on the streets, and unfortunately we don't have the answer to that question, but it is so key and there is so much at stake here. If you think about the situation for children before the ceasefire as opposed to now. Of course, the hardship continues now. But before, we were talking about children being crushed to death while waiting for flour, freezing to death at night because they didn't have warm clothes, starving in their mother's arms without food, and, of course, dying from bombs and bullets. Now, some of those risks are at least mitigated, if not entirely removed. So the stakes are incredibly high. We need the ceasefire to hold to protect children, of course, from being killed, but also to allow this aid to continue to come in and for people to cling on to that hope. I can only imagine what it would be like if people who now think they have survived these horrors and that they are trying to restart their lives, for that to all crumble down again, what that would do to people's mental health.
Tess Ingram, Communications Manager with UNICEF. Thank you for talking to us this morning.